just for the next few minutes. You'll use every word that is spoken. Let it be a blessing. Let it bring life, hope, and encouragement to each and every person, I pray, that hears it. I pray for increase in my brothers and my sisters today, not just of material things, but of spiritual experiences that bring value not only to their lives, their family, but to the ones that are around their circle and the ones that they love. I thank you for it. We give it all to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on. And everybody said amen. I really appreciate Pastor Chuck Wood sharing the word of the Lord for me on Thursday. I know he always does a great job. And we got some great people coming up in the next few weeks that are going to share on Thursday night. You heard Pastor Hector Santos. What an incredible communicator and just a gifted man of God. And he's blessed this house so much when he comes. And then in a week after that, a friend of mine, you met his daughter. Maybe you've seen him, Pastor Matt Sassano. He's from Hornell. His daughter, Dianza, has played here and just a great worship leader. And I've just felt for a while I wanted to have him come. He's become a friend. And so he's going to come. And then our own mighty man, Chris Buzniak, is going to speak on a Thursday night. So I'm saying this to you. Just engage in coming on a Thursday night. It's a great time together. And you, like I said earlier, you get to meet some people that you might not in this setting this morning, but it's just always, always a great time. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about how one day can change everything. And I've been on this. I'd kind of stumbled on this a few weeks ago, just the theme of it. And as I was reflecting on this, especially in my own personal life, is that when I thought about things that made monumental differences in my life, they all took place in one day, one moment, one decision, one choice that I changed everything, or that I thought maybe at the time was minimal, but it turned out to be huge and just gigantic. I'm always reminded of it any time that I experience anything just great. And whether you think so or not, I'm still always very humbled by great opportunities that come my way or experiences. Tonight, I'm co-leading. There's about 50 pastors that are meeting in Victor. And along with friends from Buffalo, Rochester, all over the Western New York, I'm co-leading this group. It's an overnight for pastors and their wives, just as a week before Valentine's Day, to be a blessing to them and just encourage them. So we put this thing together, and I was surprised at the amount of people that engaged in it, said, I want to come. Pastor Jerry Gillis from the chapel, who many of you know, all the way to Syracuse is coming, again, from Elmira, Hornell, Niagara Falls, all over that are coming together. And I'm just, I get nervous by it. I'm humbled by it. This past week, I took in the conference that I've done for the last 15 years at pastor school in Phoenix. What a life-changing experience that was to meet the people. And incidentally, I think I heard one of the greatest messages I've ever heard in my life. How many of you are familiar with a pastor? He has a television program, Pastor Jensen Franklin. How many of you ever heard of him? He preached a message that, I'm telling you, if it wasn't the best I'd ever heard, it's in the top three or four that I've ever heard in my life. And I was so moved by that message. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to show that on Thursday night. Then I felt the Lord just poke me. Why show that on Thursday night? Don't you trust me to show it on Sunday morning? I said, I'm having this conversation with the Lord. I said, well, Lord, we don't do that on Sunday morning, you know. I don't know if you have those kind of conversations with him or not, but I always, you know, I question him when I feel something. So when I get that, anyways, he always wins too. When I get that, I'm going to show that on a Sunday morning. And I hope you'll receive that like I mean it. It's not because I don't want to preach or share the word. That was such a powerful, powerful message. I couldn't take it and re-preach it nowhere as near like he can. And so I'm getting that, and that's when that comes, just know we're gonna watch that together as a family. Will that be all right? Amen? Good. One thing sometimes is needed in your life to make all the difference. And I'm not going to be long this morning, so hear me. And I've had a cup of Dunkin' Donuts, and I've had a Starbucks Americano. So I'm jacked up, and it's going to come out of me like bullets out of a gun this morning. Sometimes there's only one thing that is needed to make an incredible difference in your life. One choice, one decision, one move in the right direction. For some of you, it was just getting up this morning and coming here and hearing what God's going to lay on your heart. And the words aren't going to be just my words, but the preached word, God, when the word goes out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit enters from the moment it leaves my mouth to the time it touches your ears. And he brings in a level of that anointing, and it touches you with the bombast that only he could bring, and it brings life to you. And today, for some of you, that life is going to happen, just not because you're here to hear me, because you got up this morning and you made an appointment with God and he made one with you. And because of that, things, come on, they change. And the truth of it is that if we just move closer to Jesus, if we just make a decision that we're going to serve him more, we're going to give him our lives, we're going to be, as one writer put it, all in and give him everything, things would really change incredibly. And for some of you, you're having a struggle doing that because you can't leave what's behind you behind. And isn't it interesting when you get in your car this morning that the windshield is this big, but the rearview mirror is this big? Because although some things in our behind are worth recognizing and remembering sometimes, come on, sometimes things in your past can be a schoolmaster to you to keep you from going through the same thing again. I don't know about you, but I was raised up on a farm. And if you've ever walked through a pasture at night, you know what I'm talking about right now. You've stepped in some things that if you had a light on it, you wouldn't be walking away with some stuff on your shoes afterwards. And God wants for some of you to quit walking through the cow pasture and stepping in the cow pies so you walk around smelling all the time. And I don't know if I could have, I didn't even have that analogy in my notes today, but it's effective, I think. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3, in a prison cell. He says, brothers, I don't consider myself have taken hold of it, but he said, one thing I do, one thing, one day, one thing, one decision. He said, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press on to what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One thing today can make all the difference in your life. And whatever happened yesterday, whatever failure, whatever hurt, whatever pain that you've been through, maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of a disappointment of some sort in your life. I want you to know God's not only the God of the second chance, he's the God of the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, seventh. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about today? Am I talking faster than normal? If that is, it's because of that Americano that I drank down earlier. And last week, I talked about that we have to make the decision to follow him. Mark 8:27, Jesus and his disciples went into the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, who do people say that I am? And that's a question for every one of you here today and I. Who do people say that I am? Jesus, he knew what people were saying, but he's getting to the real purpose of his question. And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some say you're the prophets. And here's what Jesus said. He asked him, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And this is a question for every one of us today. Not about what other people. Who do you say that Jesus is? And Peter said, you're the Christ. Verse 34, he goes on to say, and he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. And he said, if anyone would come after me, here it is, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's just not a piece of jewelry. That's a heart. That's a lifestyle. That's the decision that I'm going to give all to him. I'm going to die to self and come to him. And he goes on, says, for whoever wants to save his life, he's going to lose it. But whoever loses his life, what? For me and for the gospel, the good news of Jesus, he will save it. And what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And everyone comes to that place in their lives where they have to make that decision of, how am I going to live? And I believe there's great people that have given their lives to Christ, but they stop there thinking that's all they had to do. And the Lord says to you and I today that we have to continually move forward to the plan and the purposes of which He's created us. Last week I talked about that there is five levels of following. Number one is the crowd. That's the come and see. That's the experience like Peter had with Jesus when Jesus got into his boat and Peter wasn't catching anything until he came and allowed Jesus to be a part of his life. And then Jesus filled his boat full of fish. And then the next place is the congregation where it is, come and join us. It's when people take that next step and they make some priorities in their life. And then the third place is the committed. That's where people come and grow. The salvation is not the end, but it's the beginning. They allow their lives to be more open and more accountable and more transparent with the people around them. They commit to personal development in their lives, where they get involved in a Bible study. They participate in prayer. And incidentally, we have prayer going on all the time during this week. And one thing that the Lord laid on my heart, I'm just going to throw it out. In a few weeks, I'm going to talk about a vision for the year for the church. And one of those things is a place for prayer that's open all the time. And I don't know where that will be, but I believe if you'll pray with me and believe God for that, and Garrett, that was no coincidence of what he said this morning, that nothing changes until we pray. And then there's the core. That's the people that come and serve, that make a difference. Whether it's in the music, or ushers, or children's, or nursery, or bus, or adopt-a-block, or nursing home, or jail, or just connecting in some plan or purpose. And then the final is the commission. That's where we come and die. We die to ourselves. We die to our own agenda. That everything that we do is not just for us, but it's for Him. And you're somewhere in this. And the Lord wants to encourage you to take another step. And when you make a spiritual decision, it makes the greatest impact in your life. You go from no commitment to total commitment. You go from a consumer to a contributor. You go from Him being just your Savior, but now He's your Lord. You go from what can He do for me to what can I do for Him. It's like one preacher told me one time, it's like a game of tag. He touched you, and now I'm passionately on a purpose to touch Him back. And today I want to just talk just for a couple moments about finding our purpose in our life. Because when you find the purpose in your life changes drastically. Concrete is a great substance that has been invented. But if concrete isn't poured into a form, it just runs all over everywhere, and it has no benefit to no one. In fact, it becomes an obstacle instead of a benefit. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18 in the New King James, it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. They just don't care. Nothing. It's just like that concrete. It's just laying all over the place. New Living says it like this. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. How many of you have ever been like that before? I run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful, because when you find the purpose and the plan that God has created you for, then your life is full of joy. And some people, you may be here today and you don't know where you fit. You don't understand your purpose. And believe me, in the next 15 minutes, you can't just discover everything, but I can encourage you and sow some seeds in you, and you can move in that direction. Because everyone ends up somewhere, but not everyone ends up somewhere on purpose. And that Hebrew word for revelation, where there is no revelation, where there's no vision, it's a word, chazon, not calzone, chazon. It means a dream. It means a revelation. It means a vision. Now, I want to ask you this morning, do you have that? Because if you have that, there's going to be a whole lot of other things that just fall into place for you. But without that, you can't spend enough money. You can't have enough relationships. You can't do enough that will satisfy you. But with it, with a vision for your life, a vision brings you focus. And you may be saying yes to some things you need to say no to. There is a lot of people that just say yes, 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 yes to a lot of things. And I heard Tommy Reed say, just within the last year, he says it was the things that I said no to that caused me to see the things that he had the yes for me. And some of you need to learn that. And some of you, you're not focused on your future, on the dream, on the vision, on the chazon for your life, because everybody else has a vision for you. Come on, how many of you know the television has a vision for you? Commercials have a vision for you. The telemarketers have a vision for you. All those things have a vision for you. They all want a part of your focus. And if you don't learn to say no to the things that aren't a part of what your future is, you get caught up in a whole lot of stuff. A vision for your life will bring you great endurance. When you don't have a vision for your life, you will get worn out very fast. That's why people say, you know, sometimes, and I always get a kick out of this. I tried to temper it down in the first service, but I probably had more coffee for this one, so I might jack it up another level. Young people, 18, 19, 20 years old, that have no vision, that can't get out of bed in the morning, that never, I'm just so tired. I've got an answer for people that are that can't sleep at night. Get up in the morning. Oh, you know, it just does wonders for you. If you set your alarm at 5 o'clock, you spend some time in prayer, and then you get up and you move, you have a vision for your life, you'll be tired at night, you won't have to take any medicine, you'll drop off to sleep, and God will give you endurance for that day. You need a dream, a vision, a plan for your life. And without it, you'll be wore out. And I've seen people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s that have more of a vision and have more endurance than some young people that don't know what they're doing and don't know where they're going. And this isn't an indictment against younger folk, but we need to help with that. Parents, you need to send your kids in the direction and pray for them and believe God for them so that they'll move into the pathway of their created dream. And you just sometimes can't say whatever you want to do. Just do it. You have to create and help them create that place where they can move in that direction for their life. Come on today. A vision for life will bring you great fulfillment. And some people are looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. But when you have a vision for your life, you will be fulfilled in your life. Not just with other people, although God in your vision will bring the right people into your life. And with a great vision, He'll help you also to separate the wrong people in your life. My mother used to tell me, and I just hated it when she said this. She said, I know what you've been up to by the people you've been hanging around. And for some of us, we need to get into the crowd that will build our lives and take us and help us to dream our great dreams. Psalm 139:16, New Living. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And I love that, because He can take things that even if we messed up the plan, He can take them. And the Bible says that He'll do something good with them, even if we chopped them all up and made a mess of them. Listen, I don't care where you are today, whatever you're facing today, whatever hardship, difficulty, wherever you are in a relational plan in your life, whether you're broken, whether you've gone through a breakup or something, God can take that. And if you'll let Him, He'll make something wonderful out of your life today. Oh, I know that's for sure. Ephesians 1:11, in the Message translation, it says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's not in anything else. It's not in anyone else. It's in Christ. It's in Him alone. In Christ alone, I find my hope. It's in Him and only Him. And it goes on to say, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs for us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. I told you, some of you are here today because it's going to be the beginning of one of the greatest points in your life. And some people, you know, when we go through 1 year, I'm always, to be honest with you, I'm a little challenged when I hear people say, I'm so glad that year's over with. Oh, my goodness, I'm so glad that's done. Like, nothing has changed in your life from last year to this year, and you think something new is going to happen. Nothing changes if you stay the same. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. And the interpretation of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting some different kind of results. Finding my purpose, one moment and one day can change everything. Open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. I want to read this scripture to you, verse 8 through 18. It's going to be up on the screens. Paul, this book of Ephesians is all about identity. I'm reading a book now called Who Do You Think You Are? The whole book is on Ephesians. It's about our identity in Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he speaks about this here. He says, you were once in darkness, every one of us. But he says, now you are light in the Lord. He says, live as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And then he goes on, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. And what he's saying, it's not your job to expose others. It's your job to bring inside of you to light. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, of every kairos. And I said this last week, that opportunity, that kairos, it's a moment in time, it's an opening, and it's a closing. It's a particular moment. And Paul is saying, he's telling us to seize, to take that opportunity every time for the glory of God. He's saying, make the most of that moment in our lives. And some of you will have that moment today. And if you just walk out of here and you don't seize that moment, Leonard Ravenhill said, the opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. That you have to take it when it comes. Say, that's for me. I'm going to take that. And he says, because the days are evil, don't be foolish. Understand what God's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And I don't need to elaborate on that. He said, but instead, be filled with God's Spirit. And our feelings can dictate to us what we think we want. But if we don't allow His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we'll be in trouble. I'm going to leave you with these three questions. These are very important. Number one, I want you to ask yourself these and answer them. Number one, what am I doing that I should not be doing? Now, I began to write down a whole list of things that maybe, and then the Lord just said, you don't need to do that. Everybody knows that. What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? Everyone here knows what that is. And there comes a time in your life, and it hopefully will be today, that you make up your mind and you say, I'm not bringing any of that junk with me in 2014. Because my brothers and my sisters, nothing changes if you carry the same bags around with you from 1 year to the other. You can make all the resolutions you want. You can blow your party hats and your little horns on New Year's Eve and and sing the song, "Old Things Are Gone." I don't even know the words of that dumb song anyways. It makes no difference if you don't make the decision and invite God's Holy Spirit to help you and empower you to do it. What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? And if I'm not completely controlled by His Holy Spirit and asking for the help to do that, I'm dead in the water. And I don't have this scripture that I'm going to read to you up on the screen, but I was reminded about it earlier, 1 Corinthians 10:23. In the New American Standard, Paul says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify." And we live in a time within the church community where people are demanding their rights. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. And Paul says, okay. The New International Version says, "I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive." And you can do a lot of things. And God still loves you, but they're not going to help your life. That's what we got to get to. You got to know what it is. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In Proverbs 4:25, it says, "How? Let your eyes look straight ahead." Remember Paul in Philippians 3, "One thing I do." Some of you, you're looking in every direction. I meet people all the time. They're just, "I think I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." And the Bible says, keep your eyes fastened in one direction. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. Take only the ways that are firm. Don't go to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. And some of you know what I'm talking about today, right while we're sitting here. Come on, everybody smile at me. Don't make me feel like I'm alone up in here. What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? Second, what am I not doing that I should be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? For some today, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, "Lord, I want you to come into my life." You've never asked Him to forgive you and have that relationship with Him. And if that's you today, when we close at the end, there's going to be people down at the front here that will pray for that to happen. That's the first start. For some of you, you're a part-time Christian. You use Him when you need Him, and when you're done, you put Him back on the shelf until you need Him again. And my wife, she gets upset at me because people will call me when they're in a catastrophe and they want me now. "Where is He? I need Him right now. I haven't seen you in a year." And when I pray, and I do, and let me tell you something. Full disclosure, whether I saw you yesterday or I haven't seen you in 5 years, if you're in a catastrophe, guess what? I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to stand with you and believe God. It's only the benefit to me, because when I give, I'm blessed. But I'm talking to somebody today that you only use God when you're in trouble. And you're missing out on some of the greatest life that you could ever experience. James says it this way in 4:17. "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it," the Bible says he sins. What's the Holy Spirit been speaking to you about? What is He drawing you to, and what is He drawing you from? For some of you, it's a regular activity. Others, it could be a relationship. It could be the group. You hang around with one group one time, but then you have this other group. And wasn't it just a sad thing to see that movie star last week that was found dead in his New York apartment with the heroin needle stuck in his arm, from Rochester originally? And I wonder, where were the people in his life that would say to him, "You shouldn't do that. Come with me. Let me help you. Let me speak into your life." I wanted to write this a blog, and I might do it yet. I'm looking at all these events that are happening in the world and the attention that people, you know, poor, and don't criticize me or judge me, I have a love for humanity, that poor little Justin Bieber That poor kid who is running and going in a circle, and if God doesn't get a hold of his life. And thank God, I heard that he has a relationship with a great pastor in New York City, Carl Lentz. That I believe God will help him if he lends himself in that direction. God will help him. But I'm wondering who is here today that you have every opportunity in the world and you're just kind of taking it slow and easy and say, well, when I get to that place where I really need him, I know he'll be there. And you know what? He will be there, but you're going to go through some pain if you don't make that decision today. Matthew 6:34, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes, when you serve him, when he's first in your life. And then my last question, I'm going to close on this. Why not do it today? Why say I'm going to wait another month or I'll start next week or I'll do it, you know, when springtime comes? That's when I'll begin. 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, Paul says, I tell you now, today is the time of God's favor. This day is the day of salvation. And everything can change in one day. Amen. You need to make that decision today. Come on. You trust him with your life today? You want him all in? Come on, give him a praise today. Close your eyes with me. Those who can help me pray, the prayer team, come on up here, if you would. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I shared this truth last week where this song originated from, were missionaries that came out of Wales into India and went into this really tough village, bringing the gospel to these people of Hindu persuasion. And after this missionary tried and tried for the longest time, finally a family gave their lives to Christ. And the village leaders said, we're going to make a display of what this is. He's going to change his mind. Brought that family into the village and asked all the people to come. And as they had him, they said, if you don't denounce Christ, we're going to kill your family right before your eyes. And he said to them, as the missionary was watching, he said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And with that, archers launched arrows and spears into the bodies of his two little children standing in front of him. I said, you going to change your mind yet? He said, no, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. With that, they took his wife, did the same thing to her, killed her right before his eyes. Good, change your life yet? The next sentence came out. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And as they begin to take his life, the last words that came out of his mouth, the cross before me, the world behind me. Some here today need to make that decision in your life. You're going to leave the things, the old, behind you. And you're going to press on to what God has ahead for you. I'm going to pray this morning, but close. But I want to ask you just a couple of things. Number one, if you've never given your life to Christ, before you leave today, I want you to come down here, tell one of these people. They care for you. They want to help you. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. They'll pray for you. That doesn't mean you become part of the church. That's nothing to do. That's you and Christ today. And he wants your life. For others of you, you've only been a part-time believer. I'm going to tell you, I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, time is getting late. Time is moving. When are you going to just be all in? You afraid to? I'd be afraid not to today. And for some, there's a third thing. Some of you, God has been drawing you. He doesn't just want to be your insurance agent to get you out. I told somebody a few weeks ago, God, He doesn't want to just get you out of trouble. He wants to get the trouble out of you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to dismiss everyone. And if one of those three things spoke to your heart this morning, it'd do you well before you left to come down. Tell one of these folks, I need prayer. I need to know Jesus. I want to be a full-time believer. Or I know God's drawing me for a greater purpose. I just pray with me so God, He'll show that to me. Even I'm going to close in prayer and we're going to go and I'm going to sing that old song one more time as we leave. But if that's you, just before we leave today, you can move out of your seat at any moment. I'm going to pray, I'm going to sing that song. We're gone. Father, I thank you today. Your love, your grace is, oh my goodness. I thank you for the grace in my own life. God, how you have helped me and kept me. And how in spite of myself and my failings, my inadequacies, you have helped me. You've loved me and blessed me. You've kept me. Thank you for that. I pray for this beautiful family here this morning. God, they're so wonderful. I thank you for the opportunity to share life with them today. Bless them. Bring hope and encouragement to each and every one. And for that, I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on. I love you so much. God's got a plan for you. You come today if you need Him to work in your life. Before you leave, you come. God bless you so much.